Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Ooh. What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back. We back yet again, man. It's another glorious week, man. I shoot these on Tuesday. They drop Wednesdays. But we here, man. If we blessed off the top, man, we here. We alive. We listening. We can still hear. We can still talk. We can still think. We can still type. Your phone is working. Your internet is working. You know, wherever you listening to this, whether you watching it or listening to it, that's the blessing off the top, man. We here for another glorious day, another glorious week, man. Count your blessings. My heart goes out to anybody that has lost anyone in this recent week, anybody, any pets, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, my heart is with you. And just know that it's not permanent. You know what I mean? It's not the end. The end is when we die. That's the full end of it, end all, be all. You know what I'm saying? So we push through. We move forward. Even if you're stuck right now, you're feeling sad, or you're feeling heartbroken, or you're feeling confused, or you're feeling down, just know that it's only temporary. Those feelings are only temporary, man. You're going to have better days. You're going to have better moments. You're going to have better, like, pockets of just, like, joy, you know. And joy is temporary too, but just know that it won't last forever. This too shall pass. It sounds like just words, but it's real. It's real. I don't know why my voice is so ashy today, but it is what it is. My vocals need lotion, if you will. I'm steadily trying to push for people to join my Patreon. Paid members. You know, because I really feel like my time might be running out on Instagram. So I'm really pushing for y'all to join my Patreon just in case. Because when I'm gone, y'all gonna be looking around like, where'd Tony go? And then, you know, you're gonna be confused. So I'm just preparing you for that. But I want to give a shout out to my patron saints, the paid members that are sitting right here right now in the live as we do the podcast. My co-producers in here, you know what I'm saying? Randomly, CJ, Ebony Walker, Coco Puff, Kobe McGuire, Tanisha Turner, Tony Ant, Keish, Passionate for God, Simone L, that guy Kev B, Dominic Lachey, Chase Ali, Randomly, CJ, Sharon McD, Candy Cammy, Retha, Trey Porter, Jay Edwards, Zakia, SF49er Girl, Bundy McBuckets, Courtney Black, Deanne, Heavy B, Miss Scorpio, Dallas D, Chris McNeil, Marshawn Waller, Miss Crawford, Linnea, Lana, Overdrive Pixie, Tanya R, CN, S Money 45, Miss Miles, FTW, Tiptastic, Sherry Tucker, Cat 87, King Panda, David Williams, the list goes on and on. Keen Beans, James Jax, I appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for being members of my Patreon, my patron saints, if you will. Thanks for being paid members. Thanks for going above and beyond. I appreciate y'all. We back. I want to do some follow-ups and some. So we just posted a link from the Ball Brothers episode that just dropped today. So if you like the Ball Brothers podcast, go to Kev on Stage Studios. A new episode is up. Black Celebs, we feel like can make some mac and cheese. But I stepped outside of the black waters because, you know, black ain't everything. All right. It's everything, but it's not everything. And so I picked Jon Favreau as somebody I would trust their Big Mac and cheese. And a lot of people are like, nah, Jon Favreau is out. Why? Why he off? I want to know why. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we're going to have the usual suspects that show up all the time. Loretta Devine, you know what I'm saying? Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight. We're going to have the usual suspects, but you got to throw somebody else in there. You got to mix it up. You got to mix it up. You got to step outside the box. I said Jon Favreau. Y'all like, nah, I need to know why. I need to know why. Because he's not black? That's not enough. That's not enough for me. I'm sorry. That's not enough for me. Because let's be real, you know what I'm saying? Did y'all see how he made that grilled cheese sandwich in the movie Chef? Did y'all see that? That wasn't just acting. That wasn't just a performance. That was passion. That was love. That was being a magician in the kitchen, just on some regular, basic grilled cheese. Right? Grilled cheese is not a complicated thing to make. There's not a ton of ingredients in grilled cheese. But to see somebody make a grilled cheese of that magnitude, I was drooling all throughout that movie theater. Baked mac and cheese is not an impossible thing to pull off. A lot of people fumble the ball. A lot of people get it wrong. Yes. But a lot of people get a lot of basic shit wrong. You know what I'm saying? Pancakes, waffles, these are not hard things to make, but people fumble the ball all the time. People fumble the ball on French toast. French toast is not rocket science. And I feel like if you really about that kitchen life, if you really serious about what you cook and what you prepare, you can make some baked macaroni and cheese. And I feel like Jon Favreau's mac and cheese would be fire. And everybody that's saying no, y'all not giving me good reasons. Why not? Y'all just be saying shit. A lot of people just be saying shit without a good argument on the back end. You know what I mean? And so he put a variety of cheese in his grilled cheese in that scene. There was a variety of different cheeses, right? And that's one of the key ingredients to a good baked mac and cheese is that you got to have different cheese tones in there. The mac and cheese I grew up, eating from my mom and like, you know, making myself, there's different cheeses in there. There's some sharp cheddar. There's some mild. You know what I'm saying? There's different flavors going on within to come together for this dynamite ass baked mac and cheese. And you got to make a batter. You have to have a liquid batter for your mac and cheese. You can't just put the macaroni in there and put the cheese on the top and then butter and then call it a goddamn day. No, you have to make a batter for the baked mac and cheese. That batter is essential. You gotta season that batter up. You gotta have the evaporated milk, the eggs, and the seasonings that you put in that batter are essential for the baked mac and cheese. It's not just the noodles, all right? The cheese is a part of it. Yes, the cheese is a part of it, but you gotta have that batter correct, all right? But y'all don't want to hear from me because Tony's vegetarian. He's vegan. He's vegetarian. Somebody said no eggs. Nah. Mm-mm. Y'all ain't never had no Big Mac and cheese with eggs in there? See, you already. let me hush. Let me just shut the fuck up because some of y'all just ain't ready. Y'all don't know what's really hood out here. And to say no eggs, I get it if you go on like the non-dairy, no eggs route, that's different. But if we making it the regular way where we doing no dietary restrictions, the eggs is mad important in the baked mac and cheese. Let me tell you something, man. This ain't no crab cheese and macaroni, man. This ain't no blue box bullshit. This ain't no Velveeta bullshit, dog. We talking serious business, baked mac and cheese. but what do you know, Tom? You don't eat that anymore. All right, I don't know shit. Never mind the fact that I didn't become vegetarian until I was 39. Forget everything I did up until that point. Forget all the food that I ate up until that point. Forget all the food I learned how to make because I come from a cooking family. Forget all that. Forget all that because, nah, Tony's a vegetarian. He don't know what he's talking about. You don't eat this anymore. Just because I opted out by choice, I don't know nothing. That's fine. That's fine. It's whatever. It's whatever. I also, y'all got to remember too, Tony Bacon was a beast. Tony Bacon was a beast. And my rice pudding, let me tell you something, man. And I know a lot of people don't really rock with rice pudding like that, but let me tell you something. My rice pudding was legendary. Legendary. Yeah, you're going to be in the hospital. Yeah, you're going to be in the hospital. You're going to be in there full diabetes, full blown diabetes right after my rice pudding. But let me tell you something. You're going to be happy in that hospital. My rice pudding was legend. And a lot of y'all like, man, rice pudding, right? Nah, man. Because a lot of rice pudding out here is bullshit. Any rice pudding that you can buy in the store is bullshit off the top. I'm going to just tell you right here, right now. Rice pudding off the shelf is already bullshit. Coming in with the bullshit. My homemade rice pudding, though? Well, you got to... See, it's all about that batter again, man. So you make the rice. The rice is just going to be the rice. You got the rice off to the side. You're going to cook the rice. Boom. Bow. Rice is over there. Then you got to get that batter going. You got the whipping cream. The nutmeg, the cinnamon, the eggs, the vanilla extract, the sugar. Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You mix all that together and you mix it to taste. And then you have to offset because the rice is going to absorb a lot of the stuff. So you got to offset the taste of that batter that you created with the rice pudding. You got to offset that when you add the rice is going to be like, nah, man, we absorbing, we taking all this, we taking all the nutrients, we taking all the flavor. So you got to make sure that the sweetness can withstand the rice taking all the fun out of everything, right? You got to get that going, keep tasting it. It's going down. Then when you make all that, and I put raisins in my rice, but I know a lot of people don't fuck with raisins. I know a lot of y'all don't like raisins. Raisins in the rice pudding takes it to another level. So you got the butter in there too. You got all this going. You got all this magnificence going. It's bullshit on the health tip. If we talking health, you might as well just mute me right now. So you got all that going. Then when you put the rice pudding in the dish, you have another dish underneath it filled with water. You put that dish on top of the water dish. You put that in the oven together because that's going to give you the better coagulation. You feel me? It's going to give it a better custardy vibe, that water on the underneath, because we baking, but you need that water base at the bottom. Man, let me tell y'all who I am, because a lot of y'all seem confused. You see me eating salads. You see me eating smoothies, and you write me off. Again, I come from a cooking family. Don't disrespect me no more. I'm sick of y'all disrespecting me. Just because I don't be eating the bullshit y'all be eating no more. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. I came up in these food streets. 39 years of just eating whatever. I want my respect. Sick of y'all, man. Y'all be writing me off. Just know, man, I ain't no punk in that kitchen. Anyway, they want me to cut off the IG live. They want me to cut off the IG live because y'all in here freeloading. And the Patreon members don't like y'all freeloading. So I'm going to cut off the IG live. But I really, and shout out to Lady V, Audacious One, Ty Davis, Pretty Wahala and T Stewart for joining the Patreon. If you're in my IG, join my Patreon just in case they take my IG page. So click the link in my bio. Click that Patreon link and join the paid membership. Don't do the free. Do the paid. And I'm cutting this off. Cutting it off. So, peeps, right before I do this follow-up, segment, I got to pay some bills in here, man. And I want to talk about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is it's a great and fun service and a good way for you to come up on some coin. You can come up on some coin, man. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action with over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. Just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. All right. So let me give y'all an example. So let's say you want to focus on, let's go to NFL, for example. Yeah, and you could do hockey, you could do Major League Baseball, you can do football, the CFB, you could do soccer. You know, so you got so many different options. You could do WNBA. So let's go to NFL, right? So this is how easy it is. So let's say, let's go with, I'll just do quarterbacks. All right, let's say Geno Smith, the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. Is he going to, so 264.5 passing yards, you pick more or less? So you predict like, all right, he's going to do more than that or he's going to do less than that. So you look at, all right, so they play in Atlanta. So I'm going to go more. Boom. And then you pick another player. You could do Derrick Henry. Is he going to do more or less than 92.5 yards of rushing? I'll say more. Boom. And then boom. That's it. That's all you got to do. Lamar Jackson, is he going to do more or less than 237.5 pass yards? It's simple, man. It's so easy. Even if you don't really know every beat of football, you can still just be like, all right, I think they'll do more than 48.5 receiving yards. Sure. You know what I'm saying? It's just two ways to go. You got 50-50. You got a 50-50 shot. You got your money. You put your money up, and then boom. Then you can win. It's so easy, man. It's so easy. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Prize Picks is the best way to get in on action on sports in over 30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, so your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks keeps your lineup live. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Join over 10 million users and sign up today. Prize Picks puts its members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my Prize Picks hit, I get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. So you can sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotion that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday, which is today. Each Tuesday, Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineup. So, yeah, y'all. So download the app today and use the code VERBAL to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's download the app. Use the code VERBAL to get $50 instantly, man. That's a good way to come up on some money, though. It's real simple. It's real quick. Throw that VERBAL in there so, you know, the show gets some love. And, yeah, y'all, get that Prize Picks. It's easy, y'all. I'm going to do it this weekend. I'm going to see what they're talking about as we get closer to the weekend. And I'm going to make me some picks, man. I got $25. I got $105 in the little gift bin. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get in on this, man. Let me look at the pass yards. Yeah, I'm going to try this out. Not try it out because I've done it before. I'm going to do it again this weekend, man. Y'all should too, man. Let's do it together. Let's do it together, man. Come on. So I wanted to do some follow-up on what we talked about last week about dating and how, you know, I'm navigating through that, because some people had some questions for me that I thought was pretty interesting. So I was saying that, you know, I feel like women should make the first move, not because one of my homegirls is like, y'all just want to be princesses now, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the third. So you have a section of women that feel like, nah, they want to be hollered at old school style. You know what I'm saying? Approach me, holler at me, whatever. A lot of women are holding on to that, which is fine. That's what they prefer. But a lot of women don't. A lot of women don't want to be bothered. A lot of women just would rather not. Especially, let's be real, some of these women are drop dead gorgeous. And if you drop dead gorgeous, you're going to get hollered at. Soon, can you imagine? Every time you step out the house, whether it be a grocery store, whether it be a social function, whether any place where it's a lot of people around, and you're getting stopped damn near every time you go out the house, that has to be annoying. And if you got social anxiety, you might not even want to leave the house, because it's just like, yo, I just need to get some tomatoes, seasoning salt, and paper towel. But you sitting there in your car like, I just want to go in here and just get this stuff and not be bothered. Some women deal with this where it's just like, man, please, just, I don't even want to hear. So already when you walking up, she's already just like, ugh, what? In her mind. And so a lot of women just don't want to be bothered. And so you got to respect that. So it's just like, but a lot of people want that old school, you know, pull up on me in the produce aisle, you know. But some women just like, leave me the fuck alone. Because I'm sick of this, man. I've been going through this my whole life. I can't go nowhere and just, you know what I'm saying, just chill without having. And a lot of times people are not comfortable rejecting people. I know y'all can be like, no, it's easy. It's easy to just, you could just say you're not interested. You could just say you got a boyfriend, but some men are pushy. And so now they got to come up with something. Now they got to cook. And then you got the fear element. What's going to be the backlash on this rejection? Why I got to give them a fake number? Why I got to give them a fake name? Why I got to give them a fake relationship status? Why I got to do all this? I'm just trying to exist. I'm trying to mind my own business. So it's a lot of things that we don't consider that women go through. Even other women are saying, no, just holler at us, man. We change it. We getting soft as a society. No, we're getting more mindful of what women go through in their mental. So, and when I say, you know, women need to approach us first, y'all don't have to do the full approach and be like, yo, what's up? I see you over here, boy. You over here looking all good. What's up? What's up? You ain't got to be doing all that, but it's safer just to give us an in to where we know, okay, you just gave me a signal. You just gave me a heads up. You just gave me a little something to work with to where I could be like, oh, you've opened the door for communication. And I know you're good with it. That's all we asking. That's all we asking. You ain't got to roll up with the full mag now. But we just want to, there are a lot of men out here that just want to make sure that we're welcome into your space. That's all it is. So one girl asked a valid question, like, with that mindset, Tony, how did you approach women before social media? Since you holler in the DMs or whatever from a safe distance, how did you holler at women before social media? Valid question. Okay, so here's my little origin story on how I move in regards to that, right? I'm shy. I know y'all don't believe it. I know y'all be like, Tone, man, you talk on stage for a living, man. You ain't shy. Look how you be cutting up, man. You be cutting up. At my core, I'm a shy individual. Trust and believe me when I tell you I'm not just bullshit. I'm shy. So when it comes to talking to a girl that I find attractive, just out the blue, it's not like an organic conversation. It's not like a social function where I can just engage with you organically. This is like me approaching somebody that I find attractive. That's pretty nerve-wracking for me. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want to say the wrong things. This, this, that, and the third. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to be, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, if you catch me just in an organic conversation, then it's easy work. But if it's like, I'm coming up to bother you because I find you attractive, that's when I get in my head a little bit more. And so, you know, I'm shy. With that being said, I've always been shy. I remember Malika Teague lived in our townhouse complex. Me, Leon, and Robert, we all like Malika. Even though we was trying to hook Robert up with Falami, the younger sister, we was just like, yo, Malika. Me and Leon both like Malika. But here's the thing. We wasn't no haters on one another. There was no jealousy. There was no hating. We just both knew Malika, man. Let's tell her we like her. So off the top, I've already... Hating on another dude has never been real tough in my wheelhouse. Like, going all the way back to this. And yeah, I gave the full government. She probably married now, so it's a different last name. But Malika Teague. And so... I didn't want her to know how I felt. Remember, that's how we were back in the day. We didn't want people to know that we liked them. We wanted to keep that on the tuck. Some women are still like that, which is silly. But so we wrote her a letter. You know what I'm saying? We wanted to say how we felt. We wrote her a letter. We delivered that letter. And I got cold busted because I got caught outside when they got the letter. And then they was outside skipping and laughing. Tony likes Malika. And they just skipping around and dancing. And I'm just standing there just taking it because Leon's mom made him come in the house real quick because he got in trouble. So now I'm trapped on the porch. And then they come busting out. Malika and her sister come busting out skipping. And I just got to stand there and take it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, oh, the jig is up. I'm caught now. You know what I'm saying? Like, even now, like, I don't want you watching my voiceovers in front of me. So I damn sure don't want you to be skipping and dancing with the love letter we just wrote your ass. So now I'm just standing there just like, ah, shit, I'm taking it. I've always been more comfortable on the written. So fast forward to, you know, upper grades now, because this is all elementary school right here. So fast forward to, like, you know, junior high, high school, I like giving you the letters. I'm a letter writer. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather write you the cold letter. So I remember another girl I liked. Leon had better handwriting than me. So I would have Leon write the letter. I would tell him what to say, and I'd be like, all right, so put this in there, Leon. Leon had the better handwriting. So Leon writing the letters, I'm giving him what to say. And I give her the letters. I'm like, yeah, they passed that. But I would have Leon deliver the letter. Like, Leon, man, give her the letter in between classes, man. You know what I'm saying? For your boy. So I've always been more comfortable on the written side of it. That's always been my thing. And so to answer your question, before social media, I was a letter writer. You know what I'm saying? I'm writing you that letter because I just felt more comfortable saying what I had to say on the written rather than face to face. And that's why, you know, like now with Instagram and text messages, I'm just more confident and calm and cool with the text and the letter writing. Now, you know, when you get me on the phone, I can jazz it up a little bit, but I'm way more comfortable on the written. So that's why I was getting good. Now, on the approach tip. Now, approaching a woman that I don't know, there was my ex-girlfriend. I met her at the community college. Her and her sister were in the bookstore of the community college. And I seen them in there and I was like, yo, man, what we got going on here? And so I don't know what made me do it, because normally I don't really approach. But I approached. I pulled up in the bookstore. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, what's going on right here? And I felt more comfortable. I'll tell you this, too. I felt more comfortable hollering at her because she wasn't alone. Her sister was there. So I could bounce out. Now, mind you, I ran the risk of looking like a fool in front of somebody else. But I felt more comfortable having an extra person there to bounce off of, boop, 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 while I'm trying to put my bid in, shorty. Now, I rolled up, and it was a success because we ended up in a year-long relationship. That was my first real relationship. But it paid out. So I was 19. I was 19. This was 97. This was 1997. So I turned 20 that year. But I don't think I was 20 yet. So I would say I was 19. I rolled up and won. So my record is 1-0 on roll ups. In person roll ups, I'm 1-0. But that's still not my usual cup of tea. That's not usually my brand. You know what I'm saying? The most I'll do now is like, what's your name? Or like, now I'll be like, how old are you? Oh, I'm out. Watch out, man. Nah. I did that in the gym one time. I was like, how old are you? Oh, watch out. Watch out, man. Look out. So to answer that question, that's how I would holler back in the day. And then once the internet came out, and I can send emails, and I can send messages. Oh, man, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. I remember my ex-wife, we met in college, and I rolled up and talked to her at the school. You know what I'm saying? I rolled up. We weren't alone, so it was easy to bounce off of people. So, you know, it was a success, but it was like a slow build success. It wasn't like immediate, but, you know, eventually, you know, we ended up having kids and, you know, getting married and stuff like that. But technically, I rolled up, technically, but it was more so on just like we were in the same social settings. It wasn't like, you know, she was just somewhere minding her own business on the roll up. It was like the social settings, everybody. It was like a mixer, if you will, on campus. So like everybody, you know, so that was different. But Tiff-tastic wants to know, what's the lowest you'll date? I need a 3 in front of your age. I need a 3. I need that 3. If you coming in with the 2 in the front, watch out. I need that 3 in there. I need you to be 30 and up. And 30, even 30, I'll still be like, I know you grown. I know you full grown at 30. But it's just, I'll be like, so I need the 3s in the front. You know, even on Instagram, man, it'd be like people I see on Instagram, be women I see on there, and I'd be like, man, who this is? And then I see if they put their age in there, I'd be like, oh, I'm out, man. Watch out. What? You know, so it's like the 20s gives me pause. It gives me pause. I don't want to be disrespectful, you know what I'm saying? But it gives me pause. So when I see 40s, I see a woman on Instagram and I see the 40s up in there, I'll be like, well, all right. I'm super comfortable then. I'm like, hey, ho, ho. Yeah. What's the oldest? I'll dabble in the 50s. I'll dabble in them 50s, man. 60s, all right, now watch out, man. I'll dabble in the 50s, though. You know what I'm saying? The 50s, yeah. Because, you know, there's some women out here in their 50s, prime real estate. Like, you know, we think about the actresses, like the famous women, like they in their 50s, Nia Long and them. I'll be like, man, hell yeah, they would get hollered at. So, yeah, I would dabble in the 50s for sure. For sure. But we're not going to spend all this episode on dating again. We already did a dating episode. We done. We off that. We moving on. We on the bigger and better things. I just wanted to do like a follow-up on, you know, what we discussed on the last episode. But we pressing on. We moving forward. We talking about other stuff. We talking about how the Joker 2 just took a huge L, just shat the bed. That's what we on. The Joker 2 fumbled hard. Hard. Joker 2 just crumbled. Crumbled. It had like an 81% drop the second weekend. 81%. It dropped 81% on the second weekend. It went from number one to like number four for the week. And this is the Joker 2 major motion picture. People just not fucking with it. And it was like, I saw it. I did my review of it. If you want to know what I thought of it, check out my review. It's on my YouTube page. But man, it shat the bed. And I knew it was going to shit the bed. Once you make it a musical, man, we knew what it was. Ain't nobody pulling up, man. What the hell you doing? So I feel like this. I feel like they did it on purpose. I feel like Todd Phillips and them said, let's just make this shit a musical just to piss everybody off. There was no way in hell they seriously sat up here and thought that this was going to catch, this was going to hit, this was going to resonate. There's no way in hell that they seriously had in their minds, people going to love this. There's no way. And we already know Joaquin Phoenix is down for the creative smoke. He'll just be like, all right, man, let's do it. Fuck it. There's no way they thought this was going to do the trick. Even with Lady Gaga attached, there was no way. There was no way. And I was like, yo, y'all really let this. And then y'all going to dump. Y'all going to blow up the budget to like $190 million on this bullshit. On this bullshit ass genre switch, we gonna bump the budget up to $190 million. And that was the plan. That was the wave. And Warner Brothers was like, sure, I get it. The first Joker made $1 billion worldwide. It made $1 billion. But you don't go in there and fuck with the sauce. You're messing with the sauce. You mess with the whole sauce. Because the Joker, let's be honest, the Joker is a one and done. That was a one and done. If you're not really going to truly connect it to like Batman and stuff, that's a one and done. If we're not going to have a Batman connection, what's the point? We still need the Batman element. Yeah, it's cool that we kind of delve into Arthur Fleck and like, you know what I'm saying, why he was the way that he, we still need a Batman element, shorty. I know the Joker is one of the most iconic villains of all time, but he ain't no villain if we ain't got the Batman. So what the fuck is we doing then? We making a sequel and then there was nothing accomplished in the sequel? Even from a character standpoint, we got nowhere new with the Joker. The only place we got is that there was a girl that actually liked him this time. It wasn't a figment of his imagination like in the first one. That's it. They fumbled so hard. This has to be one of the biggest sequel fumbles of all time, man. 81% drop off. 81% trash. All right, let me pay some more bills real quick. Speaking of movie making and filmmaking and actors and all that, Masterclass is in full effect, man. Masterclass is fantastic because it has so many. Let's say you are into arts and entertainment, right? You can get a masterclass from Amy Poehler, Steve Martin, Judd Apatow, James Cameron, Samuel Jackson, Martin Scorsese, David Lynch, Spike Lee, Ava DuVernay, Jodie Foster, Natalie Portman, LeVar Burton, Issa Rae, Penn and Teller. You know what I'm saying? The list goes on and on, man. Or if you're into music, since we're talking musicals as well, Christina Aguilera, Timbaland, John Legend, Yo-Yo Ma, Metallica, St. Vincent, Alicia Keys, Christina Aguilera, I already said that, Questlove, Ringo Starr, Nas, Herbie Hancock, Carlos Santana, Usher Raymond, Mariah Carey, Reba McEntire, Sheila E. They all have master classes on Masterclass, man. Y'all got to get in on this, man. The conversations that we have on this show always get me to thinking about, like, you know, stuff like that. We talk about food. You got master classes on food. We talk about movies. We talk about music. You get a whole master class on all of this from the best of the best. From the best of the best. These ain't no scrubs. All right, with Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best for just $10 a month. $10 a month. That's only five more than if you join my Patreon for $5 a month. This is only $5 more, and you getting lessons from the best of the best. From the best of the best in the game. $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. You can access Masterclass on your phone, the computer, the smart TV, or even in audio mode. All right? You can build your confidence through humor with comedic icon Kevin Hart. You can use improv to overcome your fears with Amy Poehler. Or you can turn your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart. And the classes really make a difference. 88% of members feel that Masterclass has made a positive impact on their lives, man. Masterclass is dope, man. Like, I really just enjoy people showing us into how they do what they do, why they do what they do, and just how they do it in detailed fashion. This ain't no quick, yeah, I'm going to talk to y'all for 25 minutes. No, they go in. They go in. These are classes, y'all. They go in. They give you the full experience, the full lesson. It's fantastic. Even if, like, you're not even, let's say you're not even going to go into that field, it's just a good watch. It's just a good listen. It's fantastic. So right now, our listeners are getting an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/verbal. That's masterclass.com/verbal. That's 15% off. Masterclass.com/verbal. Get in on that, man. Don't forget to throw that verbal in there, man. Get you a discount, man. Get you some good listening and some good watching from the best of the best. From the best of the best. Anything less than the best is a felony, man. That's what Vanilla Ice said. Vanilla Ice said it best. Anything less than the best is a felony. Bars. Vanilla Ice had them bars, shouted. You can't tell me nothing, man. He had the bars. Watch out. Let me tell y'all something, man. I try to be in a space of peace. I'm at a stage in my life right now where I'm paying for peace of mind. That's what I've decided to really spend my money on, is peace. You know, I say no to a lot of things and a lot of people. I know my limits. I know my boundaries. I know what's going to serve my mental. And I'm really paying for peace of mind. So when I decided to buy a house, I'm terrified. I'm shook. I was absolutely mortified to do this, to buy a house in Southern California by myself for Dolo, no cosigner. I was terrified. You know, the housing market in California, especially Southern California, is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The price, the prices of home ownership down here is disgusting. And so I was terrified. And then I didn't know where I wanted to live, where I wanted to be. Shook. And I finally stepped out on faith. You know, I'm not a big money spender. All I spend my money on is Jordan 1s and food and clothes, but it's not like my clothes are super expensive. So clothes, Jordan 1s, food. That's pretty much the bulk of my spending habits. I don't take fancy trips. I don't buy super lavish clothing. I got one car, so that's off the table. I'm just not a big spender. I don't like to spend too much on hotels and all that flashy stuff. You know, I just be setting my little ways and just like, all right. So, you know, my money grew, like it grows, and I just, you know, put it away, I save it or whatever. So I was like, all right, let me finally buy a house because, you know, and, you know, people in the real estate, Robin would tell me, yo, you know, it's time, TB. And like, you know, Sabrina's she's a real estate agent now. So she was like, yo, you really need to think about buying a house because that's something that it's an investment, but it's also something for your family that, you know, Sincere can use, you know, later on down the line. So it was just like, yeah, you're right. You're right. And I knew that. I knew home ownership is better than renting in many ways. I mean, there's some pros and cons, but in many ways, you know, it could add value to my life. It's an asset. And so I was like, yeah, so I finally did it. Right. And so now with that moving process and, you know, doing all that, I'm paying for peace. Like I'm paying for peace of mind. Like I paid, you know, an organizer to come through. I'm gonna pay for the full movers. You know, they come and pack and they move everything. I'm paying for all that, you know. And I'm doing like an interior design team. You know, Melissa, you know, pointed me in the right direction of these girls that do interior design. So I'm gonna do that to truly make it my own, to make it feel like me, and to make it feel like my. So I'm putting money. Let me spend money on something of value. So I was like, let me pay for peace of mind. Right. And so that's what I'm doing. That's what I've been focusing on. And I'm still shook. I still got anxiety about the future and my income and all that because I put so much money down and I'm still spending money. And I'm spending so much money without the same amount of money rolling in because I'm not on tour. I am shook. There is an anxiety factor there. There is worry. There is, you know, all these things. So, but I'm still just like, whatever I can control on what I pay, I'm paying for that peace of mind. And so with that being said, I try to stay even keel. I try to stay in like spaces of, you know, because y'all know I'll go off. I'll go off. I'm ready for the smoke. But like, I try to stay in a peaceful, calm zone. And I find that there are certain people in my life that I'm super protective over. I'm protecting my peace, but also I'm protecting those that bring me joy and happiness and peace in my life. Like I'm super protective of Sincere, of course, that's my son. But not only that, it's just there are people in my life that I'm just super protective of. Like going back to my friends, like my friend Andre, I'm super protective of him because he don't bother nobody. When people I love have a truly like, they don't bother nobody spirit, I'm super protective of them because they don't bother nobody. So don't come for them. And Because, you know, there are certain people in your life where it's just like, either you know they got it, nah, they can handle it, they'll be all right. I got your back, but I already know you're going to be setting people off. And I get why people, you know, might come for you. Nah, I'm problematic, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, my ex-wife is non-problematic. Sabrina's non-problematic, and people keep messing with her about our relationship. Y'all keep coming at her, talking about y'all broke up because of this. You did this. You just making shit up, asking other people that I know, yo, did Sabrina cheat? Is that why? If y'all don't sit the fuck down and stop, you know, and I'll be like, yo, Sabrina, you want me to say something? Nah, this is going to make it worse. I'll be like, because I'll be ready to, because she don't bother nobody. My ex-wife don't bother nobody. Sincere don't bother nobody. Now, when I get to my friends here, they don't bother nobody. It's two in particular that I'm super protective of. That's Kev on stage and Tabitha Brown. They don't bother nobody. So when people, I swell up more than if somebody came at me, if you come at them. Because they don't bother nobody. There's a comedian that said something about Kev on stage on his Instagram. This was a few years ago. He said something about Kev on stage. And I've known this comedian for a long time. I don't fuck with this comedian to this day because of that. I'm still pissed. You know what I'm saying? He was already getting on my nerves and like how he talked and communicated towards me. But I was just like, that's whatever. That's who he is. But when he posted something about Kev specifically, oh, you're done. You're done. Because Kev don't bother nobody. He just be out here with his little family. He be having a good time. He be loud. He be laughing. He be having a good time. His energy is pure. So when people come at him, I'm like, nah, man. Nah, fuck that. I'm going to say something. There are certain people I'm around where I'm going to be the dog. I'm be like, nah, man. I got this. You just, what? So in my social media comedy space, Kev and Tabitha are in that zone for me because they don't bother nobody. So when people come at Tabitha Brown, I'll be pissed because she damn sure don't bother nobody. So when Darius Cooks was like, you know, Tabitha Brown, down for sounding nothing, shut your ass up, bro. You could have left her out of your little tirade about, you know what I'm saying, these deals people be making. Ain't nobody ask you to bring up if you ain't on some positive shit. So I just saw him and I was just like, I'm not feeling this cat ready because he already came at Kev. Now he coming, not really coming at Tabitha, but just mentioning her and that. Like, I ain't like it. I ain't like it, though. I don't know this man. But now I'm just like, nah, man. Fuck that. I can't fuck with him. Because he's just unnecessary, man. So, nah, I wasn't feeling it. Because these cats don't bother nobody, man. They just out here loving life. They successful. They having a good time. And they just out here flourishing. Just let them flourish and hush. He rage bait. I don't know nothing about him like that. The only time I'll be hearing about him is when there's some bullshit going. So I just be like, hey, man. Hush. Because these people are part of my peace. Like when I be seeing Tabitha Brown post some stuff, she be saying stuff to just be right on time. You know what I'm saying? When you feeling down, when you feel a certain way, she'll just say some stuff. You be like, man, this is right on time. And Kev is a good friend, man. Like, he always be looking out for me and, like, just giving great energy. He just be making me laugh. And I'll be like, man, good ass time. I'm protective of certain people. You know, and so because they bring me a certain level of peace. My brother's been bringing me a lot of peace, and Shannon has been bringing me a ton of peace. Just, you know, we play video games all the time, and that's a source of peace for me. So if you come for them, I'm not having it, man. You fucking with my peace. And I can't have that. I'm striving for peace, as peaceful as I can make it. And I know I be coming for people that be negative in the comment section. I know I be firing back. I can't help it. But that brings me peace in me saying my peace. Sometimes I just got to say my peace. I got to say my peace. And even though it's not anything positive, it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? I still, the peace within my spirit is allowed to flourish if I can just say what I got to say real quick. And then we can be gone. But I just got to say my peace. Biting my tongue is just, I struggle with that. I struggle with it. So I'm getting better at, you know, funding and spending money on my peace, things that bring me peace. So I just wanted to say that, you know what I mean? Like, I gotta protect my peace at all times. Glorilla had an interview with Charlamagne Tha God, and they were talking about, you know, he was talking to her about men trying to trap her by getting her pregnant and stuff like that. And I was thinking, like, pregnancy trapping is a real thing. And it's risky business for women because you bear the burden of the morning after the abortion, or if you keep it, you bear that burden more so than the man does every time. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Dudes could be like, oh, they're going to come for that child support. They're going to get you this, that, and the third with the ridiculous child support and this, that, and the third. But as a man, you know you busting that nut. You know you busting that nut. If the girl ain't doing nothing nefarious by poking holes in the condom, you know you busting that nut. So you got to accept responsibility because you shot the club up. You shot the club up. Now, and a lot of people are going to be like, well, she opened her leg. She opened her legs. When you agree to have sex, and it is an agreement, it better be an agreement. If we're going to do this, if we're going to mutually do this, if we're going to consent to do this, you got to take the necessary precautions. As a woman, you got to know, all right, now, don't bust off of me. Put the condom on. You watch him put that condom on, and you got to make sure throughout the session that condom is still on. You got to do your due diligence to make sure that condom's still on. When y'all changing positions, when you do it, if you can get a good look at the, you make sure that shit is on. Because dudes are shady out here. They'll bust up in you on purpose, especially if you're a woman with some success. Let's say, you know what I'm saying, you're a woman with some success, you got financial stability up in here, and he less than you on the financial tip. You could be a come up. So you're like, shot your club up. Now the burden is on you, if you want to keep the child, now the burden is on you to carry this baby for 9 months. Putting your health at risk, putting your life at risk because you got to carry, you got to change the way you live, you got to do all this because he shot the club up on purpose. He done snatched the condom off, he done did whatever. You got to be careful. You know what I'm saying? When y'all getting it in that missionary, look down there and see if that condom's still on. The second you, wait, hold on, you can see it. If a condom breaks, It's not gonna hang up top to where you, it's gonna snap all the way loose. All you're gonna see is a ring at the bottom, at the bottom of the shaft. You're gonna see that it's gone. And so in that moment, in that very moment, oh, hold on now. Don't get caught up in the moment. I know it's good. The second that condom break, it feels even better. Raw sex is better. I get it. It feels better. It happened to me. Happened to me before, you know what I'm saying? Was getting it in with a girl, and then all of a sudden, it just got super good. And I was just like, man, you know what I'm saying? It's super good. Shot the club up. Pulled back. Condom had popped. And I'm just like, bruh. So we had to hit that CVS. Had to hit that CVS for the morning after. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm talking about, man. Wasn't on the case. If I was on the case, if I was like, you know, paying attention, I was like, oh, okay. But I got caught up in the moment. So both parties have to be careful and have to be precautious and have to be paying attention to what's going on. Sex is serious business. I know it's casual. I know, you know, we get it in, we get it out, whatever. But it's serious business. You got to be paying attention because that could affect your very life. I feel like, you know, we lighten sex up a little bit on what it really is. Like, you are inside of another person. So not only from the health standpoint, whether they got STIs or whatever, you got to be mindful of that. But you also got to be mindful of the ramifications of what could happen if I shoot the club up. And what can happen? Is this person trustworthy right here? Can I trust her? Can she trust me? Are they trying to trap me? What's the motive here? What's going on? So you got to be mindful of all that. You know, even now that I have a vasectomy, you know, it's still like, but what if it's, because nothing is 100%. Vasectomies ain't 100%. So, you know, I could still, oh, snap, man, I had the vasectomy, but it still went through. You never know. So, you know, just be more mindful. You know what I'm saying? Just be more mindful. And it's crazy that, you know, some dudes out here will hit you with the switcheroo back there and be like, I'm taking this condom off. And I'm going in like this and I'm going to shoot the club up. And then you're like, bruh, just be careful, y'all. Be careful out here. I want to admit to something. I want to admit to something that I'll be doing. I want to come clean. When it comes to the people in my life, right? Whether it be friends, family, somebody I'm dating, whatever. I'm coming for who you love, just so you know. If I'm dating you, I'm coming for your parents. I want your parents to be looking at me like, yo, that boy right there, that's my favorite of anybody you dated. I'm coming for your loved ones, just so you know. I'm coming for that number one spot every time. Whether it be my homeboy's significant other, I'm coming for the number one. If you was to ask my guy friends, if you were to ask their women, who is your favorite friend of your husband or your boyfriend? I want that number one spot. I want them to be like, Tony, my favorite. Like, I like Tony the most. I want that title. Vice versa. If it's my home girl, and she got a boyfriend or whatever, I want her boyfriend to be like, yo, I don't really rock with your guy friends like that, but I like Tony. I'm coming for the number one spot every time. Every time I'm coming. I want that number one spot. It's time that I come clean. I want your parents. Even my friends' parents, man. When I meet your parents, I'm coming for the number one spot. I want them to be asked, yo, your son's friends, who is your favorite? Tony.
You goddamn right.
I'm coming for the spot, man. Don't introduce nobody to me. Oh, this your mom? This your mom right here? Oh, I'm laying it on thick. Oh, this your dad? This your dad right here? Pops. Every time, I'm coming for the number one spot, man. I want your parents to see me and be like, I got Kev's parents hook, line, and sinker. Got them. It's a wrap. It's a cold lettuce wrap. I'm coming, man. I'm coming for that spot. Sorry. Don't introduce your loved ones to me because it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Sabrina's mom got her. It's over. You know what I'm saying? Got the kid, got the Frederick boys. JoJo a little harder to read, but I got Zay. Got him. Got him. It's a wrap, man. I'll be wanting the surveys, man. I'll be wanting the list. I'll be like, who, if you had to rank your husband's friends, where do I fall? And if I'm low on the list, I'm going to put in the work to climb to the number one spot. I remember when me and my ex-wife had broke up. This was years before we even got married. We had broke up one time. And she was pissed because her family kept asking about me. She was pissed. She was like, man, don't be bringing him up. I hate him. Like, man, how's Tony doing? Where he at? This like, I got him. I'm just giving y'all fair warning. I'm coming for your loved ones, your parents, your significant other, your kids. Even like, you know what I'm saying? Because it could be tough. Like, let's say you're a girl and you start dating a guy and he got a group of friends. Sometimes it could be a little nerve-wracking for them to come in a new space with the new people and all that good stuff. I'm going to make you feel right at home. I'll be like, oh, this shit, lady, man, what's going on? This, that, and the third. I'm going to remember you now. I'm going to care about you. And then later on down the line, they'll be like, man, your friend, Tony, he a good friend. Gotcha, man. I just had to come clean, man. Cause I'll be doing that. Now, Shay Love Lewis asks, have you ever asked yourself why do you need the validation so much? Because it feels good. Because it feels good to me. It feels good to know that this person that I already care about, it feels good to know that the people that you care about like me. You know, that feels good. I'll be like, perfect. You know what I mean? Because who wants to be seen in that regard? Like, I don't really like your friend. Like, don't nobody want to be on that side of it. So it's like, yo, you value these people. These are the people that raised you. This is who you married. This is, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be, these are your most prized individuals. And for them to like me, that's a good ass time right there. So I'm coming. I'm going to get them. Watch out. Got your ass. Hold on. I talked about the Joker. Emil Hardy asked me, what stupid thing or idea makes you laugh uncontrollably? First of all, putting L's in words that don't have them just always,
it always makes me laugh.
It always makes me laugh, man. Just putting L's and stuff. It's so silly and so ridiculous, but I'm always having like bilskits, trilskits. Just, I don't know why, man. It's silly. Anytime, I'll be laughing at hard bottoms, dress shoes. Sometimes I just laugh at dress shoes. Or like, you know, I laugh at people's first and last names a lot. Like, you know, depending on what the first and last name is, I'll be dying. Anytime I see something and it's clearly a dummy, like if I'm watching a movie or a TV show and clearly it's a dummy, I laugh every time. Even if it's overtly supposed to be a dummy, I'm laughing every time. When people fumble on words, I can't help it. I'm laughing. If I do hold back the laugh, I'm laughing internally. I'm silly, man. Like when people fumble words, I'll be like, every time. When Corn Dog said, he was trying to say Rose McGowan, and he said, Woes McGowan. Done. To hear his fumbles be folding me right up. When he called Optimus Prime Ultimus Prod. When he called Mark Wahlberg Moik Woidberg. I'll be laughing hard at that to this day. I can't even get my feet together. Moik Woidberg. It's just stuff like that, man. Every time. And this was years ago. This was probably like 2019 when he said this. 2018, 2019. He was like, Ultimus Prog. Because we were having a conversation about the Transformers, and he was just trying to get his feet together verbally, just trying to get up in there quick. And he said, Ultimus Prog. And we was just like. No, it's not even on the episode. That's the sad part, that it was in person. We was in the van going to, like, we was on the East Coast somewhere going to like one of the shows during the Real Comedians tour, and we were having that. But man, it was a combo of just Ultimus Prod and Moik Woidberg. It's just stuff like that, man. Big silly stuff like that. I'm done. Also, I'll end on this. Thad Perkins. So at the Breakfast Club, had T.I., Young Dro, and K-Dub on there. Well, K-Dub was in the background. Young Dro and T.I. was at the mic. And, you know, Young Dro was just talking about his journey with sobriety and overdosing and stuff like that. Serious business topics. And K-Dub was back there cracking jokes. He was laughing and stuff like that. And then T.I. was like, man, you already laughing. He was laughing. And that's stuff that we do sometimes with one another. But then it got to a moment where when young Dro brought up his daughter, and I guess K-Dub was still back there sniggling and giggling. That's when he was like, hey, man. Young Dro was like, I'll slap you, man. He said it so nonchalantly, too. I'll slap you. And K-Dub was like, you don't slap me. You know, and so, and then T.I. had to defuse the situation. He came in there like a grandfather. And so, hey, man, remember why we're here. And then Dro was just like, all right. You know what I'm saying? But it was funny because, first of all, Dro's energy was very even keel, even throughout. Like, even when he was getting laughed at, he was just kind of laughing, taking it light. But then it reached a point where it was just like, hey, man, I'll slap you, man. And it was still calm. And then even when T.I. stepped in, he was just like, all right. And then he went back into his story, didn't even lose, like, footing. And it just made me think, like, there's a time and a place for everything. And, like, you know, when it comes to joking about what people are going through, you got to be mindful of, you know, the gravity of what they're talking about. I don't know their relationship. I don't know Dro's and K-Dub's relationship. But I know K-Dub is a jokester. He gonna joke all day. But I feel like there's a time and a place. Like, for me, you know, I joke about serious issues within me, stuff that I've gone through. Like, I'll joke about. I'll talk about the pastor bombing at my son's funeral. I talk about having my son's ashes. I talk about, you know, this type of stuff. But it's my trauma. And so it's a little bit different that I joke about it more so than somebody just laughing at me, especially if I'm not even joking when I'm talking about it. Like, if I was sitting up here talking about, you know, if I had drug issues or stuff that I was going through like that, and somebody constantly laughing, that might throw you off your square a little bit and be like, hey, man, I'm having a serious moment here. And so, you know, I can see why, you know, he was just like, all right, man, especially when he brought his daughter into the conversation. Once we start talking about the kids, that's when it's like, all right, man, you know what I'm saying? And so they just had that moment. But they squashed beef immediately after, and he apologized. And they kind of cut the clip off before he got to the apology. But, you know, and that's sometimes you just have to set the boundaries of you and your friend. Anybody that's in your life, you got to set the boundaries of what lines not to cross. And, you know, I feel like K-Dub just might have crossed that line that day. I'm sure they still cool and whatnot, but the boundaries are important. Like, you know, if you don't think something is funny and it doesn't make you feel good to have somebody laughing at you, you got to know that in your friend. You got to know where the boundaries are and try to respect those. And I just feel like that was just a moment. It was a public moment of boundary setting. And we saw where Dro's boundary was. But I just like how he handled it, though. It was just like, he was calm about it. There was a calmness in it, even though he had reached his boundary limit, and he was still just like, yo, man, I'll slap you, man. It just felt very conversational and just like as matter of fact, and like, you know, I was like, oh, that was interesting. So, but I'm sure they still cool and they talked about it and hashed it out, but I just thought that was mad interesting. You gotta know your friend's boundaries, y'all. Gotta know your loved one's boundaries out here. Anyway, I'm about to get the hell up out of here, man. I appreciate y'all for being here. I'm glad y'all are here, man. Shout out to the Patron Saints, my co-producers in here. And somebody had mentioned, like, you know, I was trying to fill a hole that was in me seeking validation. And you could be right. Like, I feel like the majority of us have holes that needs to be filled with something else. And like, that could be, you know, me seeking that validation from the loved ones of people that I love. It could be. I don't know. I do know I have, you know, issues that I've overcome that I wanted to feel like I became better at, like, you know, my self-esteem and like, am I good enough? Even issues with like my appearance, my weight, you know, stuff like that. That's stuff that I dealt with you know, growing up, because, you know, I was teased for certain things, and, you know, that created some holes within me. But just being aware and addressing those things, and like, mind you, like, you know, there are some cases where I might not like your significant other, or I might not rock with them like that. And if that's the case, I don't even force it. I didn't tell y'all that part of it, but if I really don't rock with your parents or your significant other like that, I'm not even going to try. I'll just be like, I don't really rock with you like that. Because I'm energy based. I don't really fuck with people whose energy I don't vibe with. And so I'm not going to go out my way to win you over when you ain't even won me over. So I left that part of it out. I left that part out where I was just like, yeah, man, I'm trying to get them. But, you know, if I ain't really fucking with them, like if I ain't fucking with your kids like that, I ain't going to try to win them over. Like, I ain't really feeling your kids. I don't like your son's attitude. You know, you just stay over there. I'm going to respect you as the son, but watch out, man. You ain't bringing nothing else to the table. Sometimes kids be trash. Sometimes the significant other is trash. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, the parents is trash. That's a reality, too. And, like, I remember, case in point, my boy, my good friend Demetrius, he was dating a girl at the time. She was white. And I found out her parents were prejudiced. In that moment, I was just like, well, fuck your parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so when I met them, it was just, they just got cold energy from me. It was just like, man, watch out, man. So I'm not always gunning for the people. You know, their energy, they got to be worth gunning for. I'll put it that way. They got to be worth me gunning for. And then, you know, then we'll decide from there. But anyway, let me get the hell up out of here, man. I appreciate y'all, man. Spread the word about Verbal Cardio, man. Tell your family, tell your friends. Share, like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff to keep it cracking, to keep it popping. We in October, so I think next couple weeks, we might be on some scary shit. We might be on some scary shit, man. I think it's time. And I'm missing an opportunity, man. I might just make it an Instagram video. I wanted to do a this versus that with rappers with certain names. Damn it. I forgot. Anyway, I might save it for another episode of Verbal Cardio. I might just do it on my Instagram. I'm undecided. But we'll see. Anyway, man, I want to thank y'all so much for tuning in to another session of that Verbal Cardio.